morning and welcome to Mountain Grove. How are you today? It's so good to see all of you out here. You braved the winter storm to be a part of our services today. We're starting a brand new series called Like a Child. Because I don't know about you, I like Christmas. I mean, I really do enjoy the Christmas season. But there's something different about Christmas when you look at it through the eyes of a child. There's something different about this holiday when you look at it through the eyes of a little boy or a little girl. I mean, life just looks different through their eyes, doesn't it? It's so amazing. I mean, my favorite part of Christmas now is getting up that morning and seeing the eyes of my children, seeing the gifts, making those memories, and looking at the world through the eyes of someone who's not jaded, someone who's not been beat down, someone who's not so opinionated about everything else, because now just look at the world through innocent eyes. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at these. We're going to take a look for the next 4 weeks, next couple of weeks with me, and then if you come to the 9 o'clock service, you can hear the other couple of weeks. But we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics, some of the attributes, the nature and the character of God, and we're going to take a look at it through the eyes of a child. And there's a foundational verse that we're going to look at. If you want to turn there, it's found in Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 15. Foundational verse. Here's the backstory. All right, Jesus would go from town to town. Jesus would go from village to village. And everywhere he went, he would draw a crowd. Everywhere he went, he would draw men and women and a lot of boys and girls. Boys and girls would flock to Jesus. One of the amazing things I think about studying Scripture is that people who were nothing like Jesus loved Jesus. People that had no business being around what we would call church people love being around Jesus. So children were all around Jesus. They were there. They were flocking to him. And his disciples, they didn't like it. They didn't like it because they thought Jesus ought to be about more important things. They thought, Jesus, hey, get these kids away. Take these kids away from you. You should be doing more important things. Jesus said these words, Mark 10, 15. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, he will never enter into it. Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll never enter into it. One of the first jobs I did here, I've been at Mountain Grove, this will be my 17th year. One of the first things I did here was kids ministry. Loved kids ministry. Loved being able to see God and see the work of God through the eyes of children. And I would hear them tell me stories. They would tell me stories about their faith. And they would come and they would say things. They were so pure, so humble. It's so amazing. And it helped me understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, you have to receive it, the kingdom of God, like a child. And today, I want to take a look at one of the attributes, one of the characteristics, one of the things that makes God amazing. And it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of who God is. And if you ask a kid, if you ask a little boy or a little girl, they wouldn't say it like that. They would say, my God is for me. My God is for me. See, when you have that perspective, it changes everything. When you have the perspective that God is for you, it makes all the difference in your world. You see, because when you change the way you see God, when you change the way you see God and you view God, you'll change your entire world. You'll change everything in your world when you change the way you look at Him. When you see God as someone who's for me, then you'll see your world differently. You'll see your wife differently. You'll see your husband differently. You'll see your children differently. You'll view your job differently. You'll view every area of your life differently because you know that the God of the universe is for you. Perspective changes everything. And you said, unless we have faith like a child, we cannot experience all God wants for us. You know, like I said, when I did kids ministry, kids would say things like, Jesus loves all the little children. He loves all the little children, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. And they would sing those songs. Say, Jesus loves me, this I know. Boy, the Bible tells me so. And they had this really simple faith, this really innocent faith. And so many times that faith would come in contact with real life. So many times I would hear from these children, and they would have this amazing faith. They would say, God is for me, God loves me, God is good. And then they would say, my mom and dad are fighting. Mom and dad are arguing. Mom and dad are screaming at each other. I think mom and dad are going to get a divorce. And the terror in their eyes. Because their universe was about to be split up. They believed that God was for them. They believed that God was good. And then mom and dad got divorced. And they started to ask themselves, if God is for me, and if God is good, why didn't he answer my prayer? Why didn't he come through? Why didn't he keep mom and dad together? Because in that kid's world, that's all there was. They don't know the nuances. They don't know all the things, the reasons why you know you shouldn't be together. Whatever it is you're thinking, all they knew was that they trusted God, and they prayed, and it didn't work out the way they thought it ought to. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe they had a dog, you know, maybe the little kid had a little puppy, okay? And, you know, they had a little puppy, and they were just like, love this dog. This dog was just, it was their whole world, and something terrible happened to that dog. And they just like, God, I don't understand. I mean, from a kid's perspective, God, I don't get it. If you're good, why is this happening to me? Or maybe they had a grandparent. You know, a grandfather, a grandmother, someone that cared deeply about someone that was very important to them. And that grandparent or that grandparent got sick. And they prayed, God, heal them. God, help them get better. And they didn't get better. And they said, God, if you're for me, God, if you're good, why is it happening this way? And you see, when we look at it through the eyes of a child, it's easy for us to see the simplification of what they're experiencing. It's easy for us to understand what's going on in their lives. But here's what I know, doing what I do. So many of you have the exact same questions. Because here's what you've done. You've said, God, I want my marriage to work. God, I want him to straighten up. I know he's a moron, but I want him to straighten up. And ladies, yes, we know we are. And they don't. And things didn't work out the way you thought they would work out. And you said, God, if you're good, and if you're for me, why isn't it turning out the way I thought it ought to turn out? Or someone you love got sick, and you were just like, God, I'm so sure you're going to fix this. God, I'm so sure you're going to answer this prayer. God, I'm so sure you're going to heal this. And God, you're going to do this amazing thing, because God, you're good, and God, you're for me. And God is good, and God is for you. But it didn't turn out the way you thought. And so you concluded that God might not be for you. And you didn't say it out loud, but you began to question, God, are you really good? And what I want to show you today, I want to show you a few verses. I want to show you some passages from different places in Scripture, different men and different people in Scripture who had ideas about God, who were communicating truths about God. And what I want you to do is I want you to put aside all of your baggage, put aside all of the things that you've convinced yourself that you're right about God, put all those to the side and just listen to these words and then make your decision about whether you believe that God is for you. Because what I want you to know, what I hope you leave here understanding is perspective changes everything. What you believe about God changes everything. What you believe about the creator of the universe makes all the difference in your world. So let's look at a few of these verses. Jeremiah 29:11, a real familiar passage of scripture to people that have been following Jesus for a while, because a lot of you have it on a coffee cup. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The God of the universe says he has a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you hope, a plan to give you a future. That sounds a lot like a God who's for me. But believing that, guys, believing that, girls, believing that is a choice. If you're going to believe that verse, I'm not talking about whether you just quote it. I'm talking about whether you believe it. To believe that truth is a choice, and it's a matter of perspective. If you change your perspective, you can change your world. God wants to give you a hope. God wants to give you hope. God wants to give you a future. I love this. Romans 8 says this. Paul said, if God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? If the creator of the universe, if the one who set time in motion, if the one who created this planet and everything that exists is for you, who can be against you? What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear if the God of the universe is for you? He goes on in verse 32 and he says, he, meaning God, did not spare his own son. How will he not also along with him, Christ, graciously give us all things? When you realize God is for you, when you realize God loves you and God is for you, it changes your life. It changes your perspective. It changes the way you look at your world. It changes the way you look at everything. I want to look this morning at three big perspective changes. Things that have the potential to change your outlook on every area of your life. If you can grasp them. If you can understand them. The first one is this. When we realize that God is for you, when you realize that God is for you, you don't have to hide from God, you can run to God. When you realize that God is for you, you don't have to hide from God, you can run to God. And let me tell you what that looks like. Here's what that looks like in your life, and here's what that looks like in my life. You make a huge mistake, right? We'll call it sin. Call it whatever you want. You've gossiped. You've lied. You've stolen. I don't know what it is. You had an affair. Whatever it is in your life that you believe is separating you from God, when you make that mistake, if your natural reaction is to run away from God, then you don't understand God. You see, when you understand the nature and character of God, you won't run from Him, you'll run to Him. And that's a big change. Because so many of us live under the lie and live under the belief and the perspective that God's out to zap you. Okay? That somehow God is this angry Greek dude sitting with a beard on a throne with a lightning bolt waiting to blast you when you make a mistake. It's just not true. The God of the universe is for you. The God of the universe is for me. If you run away instead of toward Him, you do not understand His character. Adam, in Genesis 3, we see Adam doing this very thing. It says, Adam said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And so he hid himself from God. Adam didn't trust God. Did you know that? Adam didn't trust the nature and character of God. That's why he hid. So many of us feel shame. We feel the weight of the shame for the mistakes we've made. And it causes us to hide from God. It causes us to pretend like we're people we're not. It's why you hide. It's why you pretend like everything's okay. It's why you put on that beautiful Sunday morning version of you and come in here and act like you've got it all figured out. When the truth is, all of us are fallen, but that doesn't keep us from being loved by God. When you hide, you don't understand God's character. When you feel disconnected from God, when you feel bad about yourself, we try to hide and we try to run. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Stop hiding. Stop running away from God and start running to God. When you find yourself in that sin, when you find yourself making those mistakes, when you find yourself saying, I'll never do that again, boom, next day I did that again. How many of you have done that? Of course you have. Say it all the time. This is a safe place to not be okay. All right? It is okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Right? And that's not guilt. That's God saying, there's a better way. But you won't find that better way running away from Him. You won't find the better life that God has for you running and hiding. The only way you'll find it is if you run toward Him. Say, God, I blew it. Help me. And run toward Him, not away. That's a perspective changer. That's a difference maker in your life. It's a difference maker in your family. Hey, parents, you want to lead a good example? Show your kids when you blow it. Tell them when you make mistakes. Let them see that it's okay to stumble and fall and get back up and chase and pursue God. That's something we're following. That's something that we can do. But so many of us are continuing to run, continuing to hide. The second thing is this. When you realize that God is for you, when you realize that God is for me, live from, not for, God's approval. Live from, not for God's approval. There's a big difference in living from His approval and living for His approval. So many of you right now today are living your lives as Christians trying to earn the approval of God. I'm going to go to class and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to give and I'm going to serve and I'm not going to cuss and I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to chew. I'm not going to hang out with people that do. I'm not. And all these things are somehow going to earn you the approval of God. So many of us live from a place we're trying our best to win the approval of God. And I'm about to show you a verse, one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. It tells you, it tells me, that we're already approved. Romans 5, verse 8 says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still, big word, still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At your most rebellious, at the place where you pray to God, nobody ever finds out what you did. That thing that you're hoping, that thing that you wouldn't even tell a therapist. Okay? On that day, on your worst day, Christ died for you. Not your best day. You think it's because of what you've done. You think it's because of what you're doing. You think it's because of the acts of kindness and goodness and all these things that God is somehow going to approve of you. And those are not bad things, and most of us are grateful that you're doing them because it makes you not a jerk. Okay? But that's not how you earn God's love. That's not how you live. Because see, when you live for the approval of God, you're always chasing a carrot you'll never catch up with. But when you live from his approval, that he died for you at your worst day, then you can live in a place of freedom. You can live in a place where you are set free to be all that God's called you to be. Because I'm not living in fear anymore. I'm living out of the abundance that the creator of the universe is for me. Imagine a life filled with such safety and such security and so free of shame. Imagine what your life would look like then. Stop. Stop trying to earn something you already have. And live from it, not for it. Third thing, when you realize that God is for you, you won't fear what happens. You won't fear what happens because you know God is working in you. Romans 8:28. Tons of you could just quote this verse from memory. And some of you say it to people in the worst times. But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. When you realize that God is for you, you won't fear what happens because you know God's working in it. When you understand that God's at work, even in the things that you don't understand, when you find yourself like these young children we talked about, who are facing circumstances they can't wrap their mind around, and they can't get their head around the fact that this bad thing is happening and God still loves me. How can this bad thing be happening if God really loves me? And here's the truth. Jesus never promised you a worry-free life. You will have trials. He said to expect it. You will have trials. There will be troubles. You will face things in your life. But what we're trying to say today as a perspective changer is that when you understand that God is for you, then you'll see that as an opportunity for him working good in your life. It doesn't look good right now. It doesn't feel good right now. You may not understand what in the world God is up to, but I promise you that God is up to good. God will always find a way to bring about good from something that seems dark. God gets glory and God gets good things out of terrible circumstances, but you won't know it until it happens. You won't know it until after it happens. I mean, God is for you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is always working for his purposes. Look back at your life. You see, sometimes what happens is we get caught up in our circumstances right now. We're taking a look at right now. I'm looking at today, and I only care about today because that's what I feel and that's what I experience. Pause for a minute and look back. Look back 5 years ago. Look back 10 years ago and look at that event. Look at that moment that you thought was your dark night of the soul and see how God has worked for his glory and for your good in that circumstance. You couldn't see it then. You couldn't explain it then. And when somebody came up and quoted this verse, Romans 8:28 to you, you wanted to smack them. You do. I understand. Because in that moment, all I know is my experience. In that moment, all I know is what I feel. You can get the truth, get the perspective that God is for you. When those things happen, when you're in the middle of that darkness, when you're in the middle of that pain, when you're in the middle of things not going the way you thought they ought to go, you can know that God is for you. You can know that God, the God of the universe, is for you. Trust him for your tomorrow. He said he has plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope plans to give you a future. Listen, stop hiding. Stop hiding. Stop trying to pretend like somehow God can't see you. Okay? It's like, I'm doing this big, great thing over here, and it's terrible, and it's awful. And as long as I hide behind this bush, God can't see me. Guys, that's dumb. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I really wasn't trying to. But think about it for a minute. You think the God of the universe can't see you? Of course he can. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. Stop running away from God and start running to God. Embrace him because he is for you. And when we do that, when we live from his approval and not for his approval, it changes our world. It changes our perspective. And when we change our perspective, we change everything. Let me show you a video that illustrates this really well.
God doesn't love me. You can't force me to believe God is good. This is the one truth in life. This world is a product of chance. How can I believe God will use my life? I know certainty that God has left me. Never again will I say Christ has risen from the dead. I know now more than ever in my life, a man can save himself. You must realize that it's ignorant to think God answers prayers. Christians declare that without God, this world would fall into darkness. This world can and will meet my needs. It is a lie to say God has always been there for me. I now realize that no matter what I do, truth is, he doesn't love me. How can I presume God is for me? Unless God changes my heart and I come to realize that God is for me, how can I presume that he doesn't love me? The truth is, no matter what I do, I now realize that God has always been there for me. It is a lie to say that this world can and will meet my needs. Without God, this world would fall into darkness. Christians declare that God answers prayers. You must realize that it's ignorant to think man can save himself. I know now, more than ever in my life, that Christ is risen from the dead. Never again will I say that God has left me. I know with certainty that God will use my life. How can I believe that this world is a product of chance? This is the one truth in life. God is good. You can't force me to believe God doesn't.
See, it's all about perspective. It's all about how you choose to look at it. See, when you start to believe that the God of the universe is for you, it changes every area of your life. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're here today, and you know what? You've believed the lie that God's not for you. You've believed the lie, or you've been hurt, or something's happened, and you don't trust God. And maybe you're here, and you've just decided, maybe you were a Christian, you are a Christian, and you just decided, I'm going to walk away from the faith. And you've been disconnected from God for a long time. Or maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you've never made that decision to trust that Jesus Christ is the one true God. He is the Messiah and he did come to save you. Maybe you've never made that choice. Maybe you could be like this gentleman that we just saw go through the waters of the baptistry this morning today. Across that line of faith, who went public with their faith. See, that choice is yours today. You'd stand up. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to make some decisions. Please bow your heads. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the men and women here. Thank you for the truth that you've preserved thousands of years in Scripture. The truth that you are the one true God, that you are for us, that you died for us on our worst day, not our best. That we can trust you and we can run to you and not away from you. And so I pray for the men, the women, the boys, the girls, the young people, anyone who's here today, God, if there's someone here who's never trusted you, God, that today would be the day they'd have the courage to do that. If they have trusted you and they've just wandered off, they've wandered off in pain and disillusionment, that today would be the day they would step back into relationship with you and they'd realize it only takes one step, one choice. And so, God, we ask you for these things in Christ's name. I'm going to give you a few minutes, guys, if you want to make a decision to come down here. Happy to pray with you. If there's something going on in your life and you just want us to pray with you about that, we want to do that too. So